every moment for anybody that'll call out. Like, you don't have to wait for the time clock to hit for salvation. Any person wanting salvation could cry out, and instantly that's now would be the time, right? You with me? You don't have to wait for it. So when he says now is acceptable time, in other words, now, anytime you're needing to talk with God, anytime you're needing something with God, it's now. You hearing what I'm saying? It's got to be in the now. If it's in the now, it's faith, because faith is in the now. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You with me? Just look at that. Just go flip up Hebrews 11:1. What does it say? Now faith is. See, if faith is active in your life, it would have to be now. Am I just confusing you? It's got to be in the now form. It's got to be in the present tense form. Because faith has an action to it. If your faith doesn't have action to it, if your faith is looking out and you're saying, well, someday, well, that's not faith, that's hope. You with me? You can test yourself to see if you're in faith or not. Because if you're in the now, like you wake up to say, oh, man, today God is going to bless me. Well, then you're in faith. But if you say, well, someday, I just believe. When the earth rotates on its axis just right and the sun strikes my forehead, the blessings of God will come upon me. Well, you're in hope, because that ain't now. Y'all with me? So salvation, a person that wants to get saved, right? Is y'all, I mean, come on, let's just think about this for a second. I mean, I don't know who, but the person that you know is as far away from God as could be, comes running through the door, falls down right now, says, I want to get saved. I want to ask Jesus Christ in my life. And he confesses his mouth. He believes in his heart. He, you know, wants and repents, right? Will we all say he gets saved, right? Salvation is for him now. It's instantly. It's there. We have to wait for it. He says here, and in the day of salvation, I've helped you. Behold, now is acceptable time. So in other words, all of the things in heaven are available to you now. But you have to appropriate it. You have to get your faith into the now. Or your request into the now. How about that? Your desire into the now. The present tense, in order to walk in faith. There's a big difference if somebody says, I'm going to come by your house in the morning at 8. And then the person leaves and the person says, you're going to be there at 8 for him? I said, nah, he's always late. We'll be about there about 8:30. It'll be okay. You may say, I'll see you at 8, but you know he's not going to show up, so you don't show up till 8:30. That's not the operation of faith. It's like with God. You pray and say, it ain't really going to happen. You're not in faith. Are y'all with me? Okay. Behold, now is acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Verse 3. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God to much patience. Okay, now hold on a second. Back up. Verse 4. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God. Now, I want you to understand something. Every one of us on the face of the earth that has made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of their life is a minister of God. Nobody gets a pass. Doesn't make any difference if you're not a good speaker or you're not gifted in administration or anything. It doesn't make any difference. That has nothing to do with what Paul's talking about here. Even though he's using his life as an example, but he's talking about for all of us Christians. Y'all with me? You're always going to be every day confronted with opportunities to minister to somebody if you desire it, if you'll let yourself be a minister of God. Are y'all following me? If you're not, if you don't let yourself be open, then what'll happen is you'll hear these fleeting, passing things like, somebody will say, yeah, so-and-so is really having a hard time. And you'll say, yeah, that's too bad. But you don't do anything about it. like stop and pray. I preach these things to y'all, but I'm convicted all the time myself. I have to watch myself because I'm working during the day. And matter of fact, a guy just recently told me, somebody told me about 2 or 3 days before that one of the workers had been diagnosed with prostate cancer, the worker, I didn't think I'd seen, but he showed up on the job and he was there, and then he told me himself. And so, you know, I was kind of, I don't know the man's, you know, where he's at in life. And so I kind of was, took an easy approach at first, and I said, well, you know, you really need to pray about that. You know, I mean, you need to get God involved in the middle of this. And he's like, yeah, I'd appreciate any prayers you could give me. And so he walked off and walked around one side of the truck, and I was on the other. I said, you know, I said, man, I got to pray for this guy. So when he came back around, I said, hey, can we pray? He's like, now? I'm like, yeah, right here in the middle of a construction site. Let's pray. And I mean, I didn't make no real long prayer, but I prayed for him, laid my hands on him, prayed for him. You see, that doesn't have anything to do with me being a pastor. I'm just a saved Christian, right? I'm just a saved Christian. I just love Jesus, and I just believe with all of my heart that you need to get God involved in everything, right? And so often it's the easy out just to say, oh, okay, well, I'll be praying about that, or I'll pray for you. But pray for them. I'm telling you, the greatest miracles of your life are just right there. If you'll just pray, you say, well, I'm going to get around your tongue tied. I don't know what to pray. Don't make any difference. Pray the simplest, easiest prayer you can pray. You don't have to get, man, you don't have to start quoting King James. You with me? You just pray. Let God do it. Just get your faith going. Faith is in the now, so then pray now. Now, you're all ministers. Like I said, there's no past outside of this. So what I want to read these next scriptures to you, you're going to say, well, thanks, Pastor. You just drug me into the pen that I didn't really want to go into, okay? But it is what it is. Everybody say it is what it is. Now back to verse 4. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God. Now, what do ministers of God have to have? Much patience. Wow. Why do you have to have much patience? In tribulations, in needs, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. Now, I want you to understand something. I've read this, you know, a lot. Over the 28 years I've been saved, I've read 2 Corinthians 6, gone through it. And always when I get into about the time I'm to write here, I just am really like, bleh, bleh. You know, I mean, it's like, my gosh, I mean, who wants to talk about in tribulation and needs and distress and stripes? I mean, that's not what I really want to be encouraged with. So I want to share this with you because the other morning I was reading this and I was like, well, here we are again, Lord. I said, you know, there's got to be something to this. There's got to be something to what's written here. And it was like the Holy Ghost just popped my eyes open here for a minute. I'm going to show you this. He talks about verse from 4 and 5. He's talking about you've got to have a lot of patience because of the tribulations, the needs, the distress, the stripes, the imprisonments, the labors, the sleeplessness, the fastings, right? But then how are you going to walk through that? Well, he starts out in verse 6 telling you how you're going to walk through it. The first one, by purity. Now listen, just listen to me here. He says by purity, he does not say by works. Let me ask yourself something. How many of you can make yourself pure? Right? I mean, I can tell y'all this. You can work to curb your behavior. Curb your tongue, curb your actions, whatever you, right? You can work on it. But if you could make yourself pure, then why would we need Jesus? That's what the whole law was about to show us, that we could not make ourselves pure. So he says here, he did these things. In other words, he walked through the patience, the tribulation, the distress, and the stripes. Part of it was that he kept himself pure. Now you think about this. How could you keep yourself pure when you can't make yourself pure? Let's read on. By knowledge. By long suffering. Endurance, okay? By kindness. By the Holy Spirit. By sincere love. He goes on. By the word of truth. By the power of God. By the armor of righteousness on the right and the left. In other words, he says, okay, in your life, you're going to receive these obstacles. You're going to come into these obstacles. They're going to be there. They're going to happen. No matter what's going to go on, it's going to be there, right? He said, but I've learned a life to live under the righteousness of God and under what it means to be righteous by the blood of Jesus. Because when you grab hold of that revelation, what it does is it starts to make you pure. Starts to work in you. By the Holy Spirit, your relationship with the Holy Ghost coming in there and doing it. You can't make yourself pure, but the Holy Ghost on the inside of you can help you to overcome every obstacle in life and to purify you. Now, the Bible says we're always changing from glory to glory, right? But without the Holy Ghost, you're not going to do it. In other words, there's no works that you can do to earn it. It has to be a relationship. A relationship with the Holy Spirit, a relationship with the Word of God, right? He said right there, by the Word of truth, a relationship with the Word of truth, the Word of God, a relationship with the Holy Ghost, learning to walk in love, learning to walk in kindness, but then in the middle of that, he throws in long-suffering. Now, that's just that whole word makes me cringe. Long suffering. I mean, he says, with short suffering. Are y'all with me? Even medium suffering. But long suffering. But long suffering is not like, it doesn't mean that in that sense, in the way it's written. What it means really is having the endurance to keep going. Having the ability when you're tired and weary and you want to give up to put one foot in front of the other. Right? When you are going through the stripes and the imprisonments and the this and that's and the others, that you can still manage to say, Lord, I'm not making very good time. But I'm just going to press on. Right? What is he pressing on with? His relationship with the Holy Spirit. His relationship with the Word of God. Then it says here, by the power of God. Now, this is where I want to kind of just camp for a second. I wish I could just like tell you the answer, just like turn it on, Frank, and then boom. But I'm going to tell you that I know it has something to do with faith. I know it has something to do with sincerity. I know it has something to do with the Word of God. But there is a place. Kind of like Psalms 91 says, in the wings of the shadow of the Most High, there's a place where you can pray and the power of God can come upon your life or in your life or show you something or open your eyes or heal your heart or set you free somehow. There is the living, active life of the Christian of having the power of God in your life to set you free. Now, I personally believe that in some of the some of the Pentecostal revival and the charismatic revival and some of the things that have gone on, people have desensitized themselves to the Holy Spirit. Because they've had everybody in the world lay hands on them, they've had everyone in the world pray for them, they've been knocked on the floor, this and that and the other and whatever, and instead of growing closer to the Holy Ghost, they became desensitized to the things of God. I remember back in, probably 87, 88 probably. I was driving down the road one morning, and I was praying. Only been saved for a couple of years, but in losing the ranch and going broke and all the things that happened to us, there was just an emotional place in my heart. My heart was broken over the whole situation. And I was driving down the road, and I was praying. I said, God, I can't live like this. This is too much emotional pain. You have to do something to me. And as God is my witness, driving down the road, just like that, and the Spirit of God came into the car, and I was in the truck, and touched me, and I was delivered. I didn't see anything. There was no wind. There was no lightning flash. There was no anything. But in a moment, in a flash, God came into that car, that truck with me, into that cab, and just touched me. And I knew He touched me. I wasn't slain in the spirit. I drove right onto the job. But instantly, my heart was healed. And from that day, I could tell the testimony of losing the ranch, and it didn't hurt. There was no pain in it. But what I'm saying is as Christians, if we just go through the distresses, the turmoils, the fights, the problems and like that, and never really come in contact with the power of God touching us and healing us and delivering us and setting us free, then we're missing what it takes to get to that place in life to be able to long suffer through those things. Are y'all following me? We have to have a living, vibrant relationship with the Holy Spirit that it may be that it's 3 times in your life. Or it may be that it's, you say, oh yeah, well, I pray every morning, I feel a sense of presence of God. Yes, but you got to go to the next place where He comes in and the power of God sets you free. There's another step. Not just coming into the worship service and you feel warm and fuzzy on the inside and you feel lovey and feel good and you feel whoo-hoo. That's all good. There's nothing wrong with that. That's all good. But the next step is that by faith you enter into this place that the power of God comes into your life and touches you so that you're strengthened, that you can endure, that you can keep putting one foot in front of the other, that you can keep walking forward, that you can keep believing for that lost relative, that you can keep walking into those situations when you know that there are going to be troubles or whatever, that you have the endurance to do that. Now, again, I wish I had the pixie dust. I wish I had the juju water. I wish I could do something to just say, hey, come here. You know, everything was okay. But I know that the first steps in our life to walking in a living, vibrant relationship with God and walking in the power of God takes us spending time with Him until we get in fellowship with the Word of Truth, the Holy Spirit, love, kindness, and then the power's release. And understanding the righteousness is the only thing that can make, the righteousness of God is the only thing that can make you pure. I don't know why we humans, if we want to have a relationship with God, we always want a list. Just give me a list or tell me the things to do, and then I'll get to the mountaintop with you. And it's like, I don't want a list. It's about a relationship. I don't give you a list. If He gave us a list, we would just try to do the list without the relationship. The righteousness comes through the blood and what Jesus has done for us and our relationship with Him, understanding the blood of Jesus and how He set us free and what He's done to us. That's what sets us free. That's what causes us to go into that relationship with Him. That's what brings us closer, and then He can touch us. As Christians, we should strive to come to this place in our relationship with Him. that the power of God sets us free. Amen. Now, do I have this down to an exact science? Not even close. Sometimes the Lord has to take me around a mountain two or three times before I can come back and say, hey, what am I doing? This ain't right. I'm preaching this because I need to hear it. Yeah, you know? I don't say that, you know, I'm not trying to tell you that I just go fall down on my knees and lift my head up to heaven and the bushes catch on fire outside and the angels dance around through my living room and, you know? But I know what I know is to be true. Right? Let's read on a little bit here. Verse 6 says, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Now, verse 8 says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and a good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chaste and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. So the end result of this life and this relationship of walking in the power of God is simply, you may not be known on earth, but you're going to be known in heaven. Right? You may have some things that set you back, but it ain't going to kill you. You're going to have some evil reports spoken about you and some good reports spoken about you. You're going to have some honor and you're going to have some dishonor. Just the way it is. Just the way it is. You say, well, I can't believe everybody didn't believe like I do. I mean, my gosh, can't they just see that this is the truth? No. Is everybody going to like you? No. But I'm so nice. It don't matter. They dislike you because you are so nice. I mean, dislike you because you are so nice. And the other person likes you because you are so nice. This is the way it is. I mean, you might as well just accept it as the truth. I know every time that I stand up to the pulpit and preach, some people are going to like it and some people are going to hate it. No way I can get away from it. I mean, Jesus is the only perfect man, and they took him and nailed him to a cross and killed him. So what chance do I stand? Right? He says, and making many rich at having nothing, and yet possessing all things. I love that last statement, and that's where I want to end it. He says, yet making many rich. You know how you make people rich? The gospel. Tell them about Jesus. And you may not have the money to dole out, but yet in heaven you're possessing all things. If you live for this earth, no reward, really. You got to realize you always got to be looking ahead and saying, what's going on in heaven? What am I adding up there? You know? So, with all of that said, let's remember what verses 6 and 7 say. It's our relationship, the Holy Spirit, understanding righteousness, having that revelation on the inside of us that we're righteous and pure by the blood of Jesus, not by what we do or say. And then let the power of God come into our lives. Touch us. Believe for it. Believe for it. Because he can do it in a moment, a flash of a second. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, believe for it. Come on. Look at somebody else and say, believe for it. God will do it. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Help you tonight? Encourage you at least for another hour? All right. Did my job if I got you for one more hour. Had to go. A little bit. One more step. in the right direction. Amen? Well, praise God. Well, ushers, help me tonight. Let's take up our offering tonight. Frank and Maggie have brought a bunch of veggies and stuff back there in the back. If anybody's needing any veggies tonight, pick through. If anything's too hot, just tell them Sunday. It's Sunday, third Sunday? Sunday. Is this Sunday dinner on the grounds? Wow, already. Men's fellowship tomorrow. Men, you do not want to miss it. You want to go bring somebody. It's going to be a special thing. There's going to be a secret guest speaker coming in to do something really cool. Has to do with bullwhips and horses and guns. No, I'm just teasing. No, it's going to be really cool, though. There is a special speaker going to be there. It's going to be you don't want to miss it. It's going to be good. It's going to be very entertaining. Food's going to be great. I think we're having shrimp on the bobby. No, I don't know. Fish and chips. Shrimp on a barbie? You haven't ever eaten shrimp on a barbie? If you get her to hold her two hands up like that, you get one on each hand. Shrimp on a barbie. Oh, come on, folks. All right, put you in on an offering. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you for your hand over our offerings and our businesses. We just thank you, Lord, you are the God who blesses us. You prosper us, you lead us, you guide us, you direct us, Lord, so that we can win the world and touch people's hearts for you. Lord, we thank you for it. We give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, one time I went to this restaurant. This is how redneck I am. Went to this restaurant and there was a guy, he was English, just a waiter, you know. And so I said, yeah, I think I want the fried catfish. And he says, yes, the codfish. And I said, no. I said, I don't want codfish. I want the fried catfish. He says, yes, sir, the codfish. And I said, listen, dude. I mean, when am I not speaking it, saying, I want the catfish, the fried catfish, you know, like number six here on the deal. He says, yes, sir, the codfish. And I said, well. I said, if you bring me fried codfish out here, I tell you what, we're going to go throw down. He just looked at me like you were an idiot. And Laura slapped me. He said, he's English. He didn't say catfish. He said, codfish. So that's me. That's your pastor. Well, stand up, grab somebody's hand. So dinner on the ground Sunday, don't forget about that. Cowboy church. Lord, we just thank you for tonight. I just declare, Lord God, that the power of God's released over these people. And that as they seek you, as they find you, as they walk in everything we talked about tonight, I just believe you for miraculous experiences, Lord, just touching us. Healing us, setting us free. Lord, just bringing victory in our life, breaking off yokes and bondages in our life. Lord, so we can just walk with you and enjoy life. And Lord, we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.